It's Paul Hamilton.
Good morning, Paul Hamilton. How are you? Paul?
Sorry about that. Something happened in my little unit here, but it looks like we're good now.
I won't say anything that I'm thinking. Go ahead, Jeremy. Ask your question.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hang on. I'll be right with you. Nope, this one's not on me. I have evidence. So we're waiting to hear from our very own Paul Hamilton and his.
Maybe he got an iPhone unit. And changed his phone number.
He does not have a flip phone anymore.
He doesn't.
That. He got rid of the flip phone.
Is it touchscreen?
It is a.
What is it?
It's an Android.
Did he go BlackBerry?
Or whatever those phones are.
Palm Pilot?
My first cell phone that I got when I worked at WBEN in the mid 90s, they gave us work phones. Uh-huh. Of course, I had a pager too.
Sure.
But the first cell phone I had was probably the size of my shoe. Like the old, you ever seen the old Get Smart with the shoe phone?
Oh yeah,
that's
yeah.
How big the cell phone was in the mid 90s. It was like,
oh, I remember. I remember the car units.
Yeah, yeah. Some of the car rigs. Yeah, I didn't have that. But I had a phone that was really long. About the antenna out. Yeah.
Doesn't fit in your pocket.
Let me tell you kids about how you get a page and you'd have to pull over and find a payphone to answer your page.
Isn't it funny how payphones are like vanities now? It's just like it's a thing you walk into, but you don't use. You're just like, wow, look at this phone booth. This is cute.
What the hell does this do?
This is cute.
Are there still payphones?
They're...
Really?
In New York
City.
Well,
Brayton's not in his head.
He's in
the hinterlands, of course. They don't even have cell service down there. They use payphones. Right, right. Don't you just get the horse and wagon and you go right over to the payphone, right? Everybody in town lines up to use the payphone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How else is he going to reach the Amish for you know, shed making?
I think of
all
the things.
I'd ride the horse and buggy there. I'd go talk to them, Nate.
I think the funny thing. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, okay, so you know there were pay phones and you know, like, well, vinyl's back. So, I mean, it's
vinyl
not like vinyl.
Back.
So, 45s and 33 and, you know, I think the best thing when I do the whole, you know, there was a time, Jonathan, when was... pre-cable and no remote units. When you would actually only get six stations on your TV and you physically had to get up and turn the dial
to
turn the station.
To find it to the right one?
Well, that's UHF.
Oh, I'm sorry.
VHF was fine. Do you really not know UHF and VHF? I think it's like, what, ultra high frequency and very high frequency? I don't know. VHF was channels 2 through 13.
Okay.
UHF was everything else. So VHF, you would have a dial that would say 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,
gotcha.
Up to 13. You would just click the dial. I grew up in New York. We had 2, 4, 5, 7, 9, 11, 13. So you would just click. You clicked whatever channel you want. Now, the UHF was a different story, right? It was 14 through whatever. You would literally spin, like turn this wheel, this dial, and have to get it to channel 21. But the pictures would come in and out because they're static when there's no picture. Yeah, it was really strange. So you just move it like, okay, I think I'm around 20. Up 21. There's the picture. Okay. And you'd have to make sure. No, let me lock it in a little. No, it's a little too fuzzy. Let me. Yeah.
What an
and
intro
you had
for
rabbit
Paul
ears,
Hamilton, by the way.
Rabbit ears.
Oh, yeah. Well, I remember those.
You know?
I remember those.
Fudging around with the antenna to make sure the reception was better. Yeah, I think.
Now
I
it's
think,
digital.
You know, I think no cable and actually no remote where you had to get up and physically reach for the tuner. And change the channel is the thing I'm going to go with. All right, we'll figure out what's going on with Paul. We'll get him on whenever he checks in. 803-0550. I did want to bring up the division schedules. So we obviously were talking about the Bills schedule all day long. Now, we made the point, Nate, if you look at the Bills schedule, and the phone lines remain open, too, if you want to share your thoughts on that, or the whole New Orleans discussion, whether you're blowing off the family this year so you can go see the Bills. The Bills, like last year, the Bills could get off to a quick start. Now, I mean, and there are some challenging games, but you look at Pittsburgh, at Miami, Washington, Houston, three home games. The Bills have fared well against Miami. We know that. Josh has played very well against them, even in defeat in his career. So, okay, maybe they get off to a 4-0 start. What about the other teams in the division? New England. You want a New England schedule? Pull it up, actually. Pull up the New England Patriots schedule. I'll give you a chance. You have it. I don't have to read it to you. That way you have it in front of you. Grab it on your phone. New England actually has a tough opening month of the season. Now, they're home against Miami. Honestly, I'm not sure what to make of that right now. I think I think Miami would be the better team over New England, generally speaking, this year. But that game is kind of a toss-up.
You remember last year? I mean,
they opened in week one last year,
and New England handled them.
Yeah, Miami had like 10 points or 11 points in that game. Oh, we got what? Okay, Paul's connected. All right. Well, anyway, they open Dolphins home at Jets. That's easy. But then they have the Saints and the Bucks. Now they're home games, but three of their first four games are home, and it's Miami, New Orleans, Tampa. So, you know, if they're not, who knows who's starting at quarterback, if they get off to a little, can they go 2-2 in that stretch? After the first month of the season, the Bills could be two games up on New England in the loss column already if they go 4-0. So that's a tough stretch for them. And they also, if you go scroll down, go to the end of November. So they have a stretch starting November 28th. Tennessee, Bills, a very late bye week, by the way. Colts, Bills. Titans, Bills, Colts, Bills.
But even then, they've got Panthers, Browns, Falcons, Titans, Bills, Colts, Bills. That is a stretch.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. They have, I think that is their toughest stretch. The opening's a little challenging, but at least you would say, well, they're home games.
They have one of the toughest schedules in football.
Wait,
by the way,
go look at the beginning of the Dolphins schedule. I'll save that for the for later this hour because I want to get to Paul. Pull up the Dolphins schedule and look at the first five games in the Dolphins schedule. And then they go to London. 803-0550 to join us. Now we are joined by Mr. Paul Hamilton. He, formerly of the Flip Phone, brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Good morning, Mr. Hamilton. How are you?
Are you giving any lessons how to tell time or no?
It's 8:15 and you run at 8:05. I know how to tell time.
I know. I said you're going to give some lessons to me. Where?
Geez, you
know.
Hamilton, what do you did your old the old fogey wind up clock alarm clock not go off? Holy smokes!
Sorry about that.
You got the clock radio set to have Danny move your fanny, and it didn't happen this morning. Jeez, Paul. Hey, so we want to get into Kevin Adams. Quick thought on the Bills schedule. Anything grab you now that you've had a chance to? I know you were busy with Sabre stuff all day yesterday. Any thoughts on the Bills schedule?
Yeah, I think Thanksgiving again to have it as close to the last one. That's interesting, and especially you know, the New Orleans Saints isn't your traditional Thanksgiving game either. So yeah, I think that's going to be fun. I enjoyed the last one against Dallas.
You, me, Bourbon Street, Thanksgiving Day, Paul. You and me.
I think that's cool. We should go do that.
I mean, you talk about two people drinking everybody else under the table.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and the last time I actually was covering the Bills, I was doing both, and that's when the hurricane came. We were supposed to go to New Orleans, and we wound up in San Antonio instead.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, the Terrence McGee non-kick return.
Because I've never
return.
Been to New Orleans, so I was
Paul. Me and Paul both. You and Nate are going to go this year then. Have a good time. Let me know. Send me a card. Kevin Adams. Obviously, everybody wanted to hear what he had to say about Jack Eichel. It was interesting, right, that before the Q&A portion, he gave a long explanation of their view of what's going on with the treatment for Eichel. So what he said, how he said everything, let's start there.
I think he did well, but I think he's always done well with doing interviews and stuff. I think he thinks on his feet well. It's not like talking to a lot of GMs in sports or coaches in sports. I mean, he tries to be as upfront as he can, and if he can't, he doesn't tell you. I mean, he just says, I can't talk about this or whatever. And, you know, I think he did a 4-minute statement before that was, he knew it was going to be asked. So why sit around and, you know, make everybody ask him and everything else? It's like, all right, I'm just going to come out and talk about what I'm going to say anyway. So, you know, and I think there was a lot of information in there. He confirmed that it was, Jack, you know, wants a surgery that's never been done on a hockey player before. And that the Sabres doctors just aren't comfortable with it because there's no data to support it's good or bad, or even with any sports figure, it's only been on a couple of sports figures and it's been recent. So there's, you know, a little bit of short-term data, but nothing long-term on, you know, the effects of this surgery and that type of thing. So, you know, he talked about, you know, they've been in constant communication. Now, Jack said that they had talked twice, you know, as far as him and Adams. Adam said there's been constant communication, whether it's him to Jack, the organization to Jack's agents, doctors to doctors, doctors to Jack.
Yep.
And that thing. The only thing I found that didn't make sense was when he talked about the conservative rehab process and approach to try to avoid surgery. But he said, they were hoping to have him play again.
Yeah.
And then he said it's a 12-week thing that goes till the end of May to early June. So that was the only thing I think that where he contradicted himself. It's like, well, how did you expect him to play again? You knew you weren't going to be in the playoffs. You knew that in the first month of the season.
Okay, I'll tell you what I wasn't sure about. When he said to you, now he also said, Adams also said, all of the doctors agreed on the conservative rehab approach, right? So I would assume that all of the doctors included Eichel's doctors, right?
Yeah, and I think that was in the very, very beginning. He said it was a week or two later when Eichel asked to get a second opinion.
Yep.
And they already had decided in the conservative rehab process. So then he went and got the second opinion, and it was after he got the second opinion that, or maybe it was even a third opinion for all I know, I'm not sure. But that's when they came up with this surgery idea.
Okay, because that's what I was trying to, if the Eichel doctors agreed with the Sabres doctors, conservative, rehab, 12 weeks, and the window's not up, somewhere in that window, Eichel must have heard something that said, you know what? No, I don't want to do the 12 weeks anymore. Let's do the surgery.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
All right. What did you make of, when Eichel spoke to you guys on Monday, the money line was, I want to be able to play next season, wherever that may be. Kevin Adams yesterday, hang on, I want to try and make sure I get the exact quote. Words to the effect, he was asked a question about the three leaders seemed discouraged. Eichel, Ristolainen, and Reinhart, and whether or not, they'd be traded, blah, blah, blah. And he talked about the young guys at the exit interviews, how excited they were, how they truly care about the organization. They were honest. They were mature. And he closed by saying, we will get this right with the people who want to be here. Okay. Is that, how much do I read into that about Eichel, Reinhart, and I'm guessing Ristolainen, who said he didn't care if he was here, would fall into that?
Yeah. It occurred to me as we were going through this press conference that, because we all have asked him, as Eichel asked to be traded.
Right.
And he said, you guys have asked me that before, and no, he hasn't. And then I thought to myself, are we asking the right question here? And that's what I said to him. I said, with all the losing, when we're talking about Sam Reinhart or Ristolainen or Eichel, and they've been here for a lot of losing, and of course it's going to affect them. They're human beings. So I said to him, I go, are we even asking you the right question? Is the right question is, do you want, are you planning on trading them?
Yeah.
Is that something that you would like to do? And he said, they have to be willing as an organization to look at all scenarios to help improve the team. And he said, it doesn't matter how long they've been here. That's not what they should be looking at. I said, what you have to look at is, do they want to be here? Do they want to be part of the solution? As he said, do they want to be part of something great? Do they want to make the fan base proud? Or don't you want to be here?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, if the answer is no, he goes, then we have to make those decisions on, all right, if they don't want to be here and part of it, then, because, he said, he goes, I only want people here who want to be here and want to be part of the solutions. Well, Jack had told us, remember, that he had a lot to think about.
Yeah.
And he didn't say yes or no when he was asked if he wanted to be traded. He just said he had a lot to think about. Well, if that was his answer to Adams, that certainly wasn't yes, I want to be here.
Right.
Yes, I want to be part of a solution. So, that's what I thought. I go, maybe it's not Jack at all. Maybe it's Adams who wants to trade him.
Paul, I wonder, too, what your thoughts are on, the responsibility of the organization to get themselves in a place where their best players want to play here. And the conversation goes to, well, we just want the people here that want to be here. And I think that's fine, but I don't necessarily think this organization has earned the benefit of the doubt to say, well, who cares about the guys that don't want to be here? Don't they hold a little responsibility to try to get themselves in a position where they're a little more desirable? Because if they're not desirable to Jack Eichel, who was drafted by the organization, who gave him his opportunity, who put a C on his chest, what player of Jack Eichel's caliber is going to want to be here?
Well, they thought they were doing that when they brought in Taylor Hall. You know, that was the number one free agent. So they thought, well, you know, let's bring in Taylor Hall and you know, let's make a run at it. And they gave Kruger all this power, and that's what they thought they were doing at the time, and then realized they made a mistake, and now, you know, they have to do it again. But, you know, Adams has laid out to these players what his plan is and, you know, how he wants to go about it. And, you know, that's what he's looking for. And I understand how a player like Eichel or Reinhardt or Ristolainen, they want to win. They want to be in the playoffs. And I get it. This isn't just losing. This is horrific losing. This is losing at the worst. I mean, this is last place 4 out of 8 years and second last place and just bad, bad losing. And that it gets to you. You're a human being. It gets to you after a while.
Browns football is what it just it reminds me of the last 2 decades of Browns football, where they could be at the top of the draft every year and they can draft these, you know, blue chip players. But Paul, I mean, it's like, and it's hard because with Adams, it's not like he has been watching this ship sink for year after year after year, and he holds all this responsibility. So it's a tough place for him to be in. But, you know, to your point, it's like how bad this is. This isn't just, you know, a team that is finding themselves in 9th and 10th place every year, and they're in the hunt, but they just can't seem to get over the hump. I mean, they're not even in the conversation come January, February.
Yeah, and he said he understands the past totally. He's from here, so he knows Western New York. He knows Buffalo people. And he says, I understand where fans – and he goes, that's where the disconnect is. He goes, the disconnect isn't between Jack and me. It's between the Sabres and the fans. He says, we have to win our fans over. We have to. And he said, but we can't. He goes, I can't sit here and worry about what happened 10 years ago. He goes, I have to look forward and I have to have a plan for what I feel is for the organization. And we have to have that plan to move forward. He goes, we can't live in that place. We can't live in that place of the last 10 years. We have to live in the present of now and do the deep dive on what we're going to do and how we are going to make this team better. And he goes, and that's what we're going to do, and we are going to make this team better. And he said, I am excited about the good young players. He says, at least we've got a start there. But, you know, so that's, you know, he's talked about that many times. That's not the first time I've heard him talk about that. And, you know, he said, of course, losing should make people angry. If it doesn't, I don't want that person around here. He goes, you should be angry when we lose. But he goes, we can't be living in that place. Now, in Eichel and Reinhardt's case, you could have them around for another year. I don't think Reinhardt would, I mean, unless you're trading him to the Vancouver Canucks, but if you're trading him to the Ottawa Senators or something like that, he probably wouldn't mind signing a one-year deal and go to unrestricted free agency. That would give you one more year to win him over. Quite honestly, I don't know if Eichel might be playing this a little bit different than people are thinking. What if he's playing this to play one more year in Buffalo? Because then his full no movement kicks in.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And then he has the power to say, I will go here, I will not go here.
And he comes back healthy, there are no physical questions.
Yeah, and he's got another year to play healthy, show everybody he's okay. And so there are people who think that. I mean, I've had some people on Twitter ask me that. Hmm. Was this Eichel trying to block the Sabres from trading him this year? Maybe he had a good idea that maybe that's where the Sabres were headed with this.
Huh.
And is this his way of making it very difficult for them to trade him this year? So he'll play another year, and then he'll have control on where he can be traded.
Listen, good news. We will have plenty of time to talk about all this stuff tomorrow. Paul Hamilton co-hosting with me tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it.
See, that's my punishment for...
Wait, I haven't told you exactly what time you're starting either. I'll text you that. I didn't want to do it to you live on the air.
I thought we already agreed on that.
No, I changed it. No, I'll text you. Don't worry. Get your flip phone ready. Thank you, Mr. Hamilton.
Yes, we'll talk to you
tomorrow. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Later, Paul.
Paul's segment brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. All right, so Nate, you got the next segment. I got to step out for a little bit. I got to empty the trash cans here in the building. So
yeah,
I
will be back. We're getting the intern to do that.
We don't have an intern.
Yes, we do.
Who's our intern?
Listen, you know that the company said to justify Howard's salary that he had to start pitching in and doing his part.
He's actually doing something productive to benefit the company for a change.
Right.
You want to do pick the bills?
No,
I do not.
Nate's
duties.
No.
It's your duty.
No.
You could be like a ghostwriter.
No. I do not. It's like...
What if I pay you?
It's like... No. Well, I mean...
Jeremy's going to check in here, and he's going to be disappointed first, all of a sudden he hears that, Howard had to take the garbage out. He had to take the garbage out, go outside, go across the street from the facility that we have, which is a really long walk away, and take care of the garbage. He's going to be really disappointed.
Oh, you mean Howard had to take himself out? Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
All right, well, I guess we'll, okay, fine. All right, I'll get the coins.
You know what? I'll get the coins.
I've got a good idea.
Oh, I don't have any coins today.
You need to get the sound from SpongeBob where he said, "How many times do we got to teach you this lesson, old man?"
That's a good one.
And every time he refuses to do pick the bills, you play that sound. How many times do we got to tell you, old man?
I'll tell you what. I'll make you a deal. We got to go to break. I'll do it just this one more time.
As if he has a choice.
This is the last time I'm doing it. And it's only as a favor to Jeremy because he's still a relatively new dad. All right, that's coming up in a moment.
When it's time to party, we will party hard.
All right, two things. One, Jeremy, are you there?
I'm here.
This is the greatest tweet ever, especially before we actually do the segment. Random Bills fan tweeted, "What, Howard? Only XX wins for the Bills? You're a jerk! For heaven's sake, Howard, XX wins for the Bills? You're a delusional homer! Just getting both ready ahead of time so I am prepared." Outstanding tweet! Love it. How you doing, buddy? Haven't talked in a while.
I'm doing okay. I just pulled up an email that gave me odds of Jack Eichel's next team.
Yeah,
so,
I've got that one here. You know, okay, we'll save it for better or forget it for next week when you're back.
I'd like to thank that email from coming.
Hey, go ahead.
You're in on Monday, right?
Yeah, well, as far as I know. I mean, if something changes, let me know.
I'm on vacation leave this week, and I'm here for Pick the Bills. But you're in on Monday?
I'm in all next week.
Sure.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
I would wear protective gear.
You're going to be that fired up, huh?
We'll see what happens when we get to Monday. Well, but I've got some time.
Whoa, wait.
Got some time.
Wait, okay, see, all right. So what you're not saying, I'm thinking you're telling me Eichel's being traded before Monday.
No.
Don't scare me like that.
No.
All right.
Wear protective gear.
Sorry, just spit on the windscreen.
I was on the golf course yesterday with Nate. We had a great round of golf. I watched Nate hammer the ball.
It's not what Nate said.
Like
Nate said he was cursing like a lot on the golf course yesterday.
I was cursing a lot.
But I saw something along the lines of players that want to be here. And So anyway, are you ready to pick the Bills?
Yes,
this is what makes people happy is you picking the Bills.
Before we do it, there's big news. Pick the Bills is now sponsored.
Uh-oh.
Perfect.
Can you believe that?
Here to stay.
Pick the Bills is presented by Admar Construction Equipment and Supplies. Equipment you need when you need it. So we will construct their record, dare we say, with Pick the Bills.
I love it. Well, you know, it's the first one.
The first.
Brayton, do we have the Rudy music? Because I feel like the first one of the year.
That's right.
Really, we have to set the stage. Maybe this is someone's first ever Pick the Bills.
What an honor to be here, by the way.
Oh, I mean, you know, both. Nate, I'm glad you're here.
I'm going to vomit. You guys are just killing me. This is my friend. Jeremy's supposed to be my friend.
The schedule's out, and we're ready.
All right.
Okay, so fans young and old here, soaking in a new year. For the elders, memories of Howard picks the Bills past. For some, brand new to this world, their first year on Earth to win this very home. So many firsts.
Oh, goodness.
First smiles, first words, first steps, and first Howard picks the Bills. It brings families together. It builds families. Baby boom, shmaby boom. You know, most babies are born on Tuesdays. Could it be because of Howard picks the Bills? Listen, this is what we do.
Wow.
This is who we are. This unites us like few other things do. It unites us like eye rolls for Tom Brady, appreciation for Lewis Hamilton, and mockery of the Seattle hockey team's name. In a time of uncertainty, when so many things feel so wrong and so unstable, we are granted this much-needed warm blanket, like the Sabres finishing in last. It is timeless. It is a tradition unlike any other. And this will be the first edition of the 2021 Howard Picks the Bills.
A tradition unlike any other.
Picking the Bills to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God. You're doing what?
They're the best team in football right now.
It's time for Howard to pick the Bills.
Something's going to be different.
Yeah.
Howard's going to pick the Bills.
Yeah.
And this is going to be different this
time.
All right.
Guns it into the end zone. Intercepted. 2 yards deep in the end zone. Intercepted by Taron Johnson. And he brings it out. He may go all the way. He's at the Baltimore 40. The 30 gets a block at the 20. 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
Picking the Bills. It means absolutely nothing.
Right.
It's just fun.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
So let me get this straight. So
I don't actually know if most babies are born on Tuesdays. So
I was going to ask you about that line. Yeah.
Don't look that up. It's fine. I didn't. Our crack research team just said go with it.
Were you suggesting that when you make me do this, couples get so excited they decide to go make a baby?
I was just going to say that it lifts spirits, okay? People get happy about it.
It lifts other things than spirits, apparently.
Yeah, right. All right.
It's
what a show.
It's perfect.
What a show this is. This is.
You know what?
Put that with Paul's little unit. We got a great open.
You know what? God. Just for that, now you're picking the preseason. Week one at Detroit. What do you think? How do you like it? August 13th.
Jabron Hamden starts. Was that the guy's name? Yeah. Jabron Hamden? Okay, go ahead.
The real question is, the Bills did not get 17 games in primetime. How will they handle the disrespect?
Yeah, you missed that part of the show yesterday.
I was listening. It's fun. I think, honestly, it's a lot of fun. It's fun to hear, you know, Bills fans talk chests puffed out and all that. Okay, Sunday, September 12th, 1 p.m., Highmark Stadium. I mean, walk outside today and you can feel it. It is beautiful
Smell
out.
It.
Yes, it is the temperature. It might be that day. Like, those days late in mid-September are awesome. And a home game at 1 o'clock to start the season, just, I mean, holy cow, perfect. I wouldn't have asked for anything else. Primetime, whatever, that's cool. Home to open the season, Pittsburgh Steelers, and that rag-armed quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger.
Great day. Great day to be alive. Great day to be at a Bills game because you know why? You'll be there. People will be tailgating. Knock on wood. 70,000-plus fans. I'm not going to lie, fellas. I'll be watching in my man cave at home. But when they show the stadium and it's packed and the Bills come out of the tunnel and the place is going nuts, I got a feeling I'm going to have a little bit of wet stuff flowing out of the eyes at that point. Oh, are you kidding me? This is a win. The Steelers are dead. Forget it. They're trying one more year with Ben. It's going to be a complete failure, and he'll be gone. That's a win. They're going to beat the Steelers. It won't be close. It's going to be a massive party on opening day.
Who's going to lead the charge? Got to get some good leaders of the charge this year, you know? Someone tweeted Matt Barkley should be leading the charge from whipping the jacket around for the Steelers
game.
He's
got to have the jacket. He's got to have the jacket.
He didn't land anywhere, right? So I
know
he's
a free agent.
Yeah. That's good.
All right. Win.
Yeah.
And on to Miami, week two. Little disappointed that the Dolphins game is early because so many Bills fans love that game in Miami. And a trip later in the year is, you know, better time to leave town. But either way, at Miami, week two.
First thing that came up in my mind with this game, will there be another thunderstorm delay like there was last year?
Yeah, week two in Miami last year, too.
Come on. We know what happened. Josh Allen owns the Dolphins. It's not Stephen Ross. It's Josh Allen. Give me a win. Stephen Ross, right?
They do own the Dolphins. Home week three. I love how many early home games there are. It's so great. Week three, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Washington football team.
You know, Nate made a really good point on the show earlier, and I think he's right, even though we just talked about going to Miami. Or maybe just from those first three home games. Washington should be a tough game because at the very least, I think their defense is going to provide a challenge. Their pass rush is going to provide a challenge. You never know what Fitz is going to do. I'm going to take the Bills to win. I don't think they're going to lose that game at any moment, but I'm just saying that one could be a little closer and sweat that baby out in the fourth quarter kind of game.
All right. Win over Washington. Week four.
Don't waste your time.
The Houston Texans. Maybe a Tyrod revenge game.
Never happening.
Skip right over it.
Never happening. Don't even waste your time.
That Houston's over-under is like 3.5?
Yes.
Is that what it was?
In a 17-game schedule.
I can't even believe how low that is.
What's the line for that game? The Bills are favored by 6 over the Steelers.
I would guess.
11, 12? What are they?
I think it's double digits, yeah.
Yeah, maybe more than that.
Wow. Yeah.
I saw the Bills are expected to be favored, as of today, would be favored in 14 out of 17 games.
Wow.
Yep.
All right. I'll take the Bills there, please.
Bills. 4-0. And here we go. We've been waiting all day for Sunday night. Sunday Night Football at Kansas City. You know, it's a little disappointing that the Bills play at the Chiefs this year, and the way the schedule will break down, they're going to play at the Chiefs next year too, right? I think Sal was going through the machinations of all this.
Are they playing the AFC West the whole – no, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Are they playing the whole division? They just played them last year.
Or maybe, no, same place finisher, but the way that it works out. I was listening yesterday. Anyway, it all laid out like it felt like the Bills were going to play at Kansas City a bunch of times and never actually here.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Okay.
Anyway, Bills at Chiefs, Sunday Night Football, the 4-0 Bills. I haven't looked at the Chiefs.
We'll assume they're 4-0.
Ooh, I haven't looked at their schedule either.
I think we can assume that.
The Chiefs schedule, I'll just go through it here because we'll find out. The Chiefs go Browns, Ravens, Chargers, Eagles. And that's tougher than the Bills, for sure. The Browns and the Ravens are tough, and the Chargers are no slouch, right? And then at Philadelphia, and then the Bills.
So so the person who tweeted me before the segment picked them 17-0, you coward. Sorry, buddy, I guess I'm a coward. I'll take Kansas City to win the game.
Hmm. All right, loss to Kansas
City. Not inviting that person to my Thanksgiving Day party.
Oh, there goes the perfect 17-0 season.
Yeah, there it goes.
I knew we all anticipated that.
Shucks.
At Tennessee, Monday night, the following week, just like last year when it went Titans-Chiefs, around these same 2 weeks, Chiefs-Titans this time around, at Tennessee for a Monday night game.
This will be a more enjoyable trip to Nashville than last year's game was. And Bills fans will get to go to Nashville like they did, 2 years ago? I think it was 2 years ago. I'll take a win over the Tennessee Titans, who will take a step back this year.
I agree. I do expect them to take a bit of a step back. Lost a bunch of weapons. The division will be, Jacksonville should be better. Texans should be bad. Indy's good again, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
Home Miami after the bye. So the Bills go to the bye at 5-1, come home for Miami on Halloween.
McDermott's teams out of the bye are great.
A game on Halloween where we get to wear costumes? Like, that might be cool. Nate, I saw your tweet about Tua.
Did you like it?
Want to deliver it again? It's really good.
It's a good one. Yeah. I wonder if Tua is going to dress up as an NFL quarterback.
I didn't quite hear that part. Well, I'll follow Nate's advice then, and I'll take the Bills to win that game.
Yes.
Win. Then a fun one at Jacksonville. Be interesting to see, I think it's going to be a win probably every week leading up to it, unless Trevor Lawrence looks like maybe Justin Herbert and has a great start to his career, and maybe we, think about that game a little differently. Just if I'm picking Howard picks the Bills, this is going to be a win for a long time.
I don't see anything changing it. I mean, he'd have to come out of the gate playing great. ETN would have to be a stud, which he could be, by the way. But I don't see how that changes over. So, yeah, put it down as a win and use ink. Not the erasable ink.
Okay. Win. At the Jets.
They use blood, but that's kind of... win.
This one, by the way, has good potential for Bills fans to kind of take over New York. I mean, they're going to be week 10. Sure, they're a young quarterback, but if they get off to a rough start, tickets might be readily available, and it's an easy road trip.
Yes,
it is. So you go win over the Jets.
Yes.
Okay. Week 11. Home Indy.
This is where it gets fun, I think. This stretch of
this
games.
This is a good stretch
this
of games.
This is a good stretch.
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier, Jeremy. This stretch of four games is the gauntlet, if you will, in the schedule, I think. I will throw a little wrinkle in here. I'll say a loss there to the Colts. I'm going to assume.
Oh.
Now that game can flip, obviously, because I'm going to assume this. I think their defense, their defense was good. I think it'll still be good. Their offensive line should still be good. Their running game should still be good. Of course, what's going to happen at quarterback? Rivers was good last year, better than I thought he'd be. Henceforth, they're in the playoffs and they give the Bills everything they've got. I'm basing that pick on Wentz looking like his former near MVP self in Philadelphia when Reich was part of the coaching staff. If that happens, I will take Indianapolis to win their division and sneak a win out of here in that game.
Okay. By the way, Daryl writes in, Bills and Chiefs, so this is what I was thinking of. If they both finish first, the AFC East plays at the AFC West number ones next year.
Yeah, if they're in the same spot, right. Okay.
Yes, and after that, the Bills are on rotation to play there. So it would be 3 years
correct.
In a row.
Correct.
Basically playing out there. So, yeah. Okay.
Right. The West Division comes up in 2023. Yep. Yes.
Okay. Lost to the Colts. Now Thanksgiving Eve. Now, funny thing happened on the way to Thanksgiving. So, am I skipping a year? 2 years ago, the Bills play on Thanksgiving, and it's amazing. Then last year, you had Thanksgiving where maybe you didn't have your full family. We did, like, the driveway takeout Thanksgiving, right? Because people were not supposed to be together. And now it's in New Orleans again, and the Bills are playing again. So, like, quite a stretch of 3 years there, huh? The only drawback is if you wanted to go to New Orleans, this might make it tougher for some of you to justify it because, you know, Thanksgiving's about being home with your family.
Right.
Whatever. 8:20. I am with you, Howard. I don't know if I've ever been awake at 8:20 on Thanksgiving.
I am really dreading this.
It's going to be fun. Bills at Saints.
Josh Allen's unbeaten on Thanksgiving Day. I don't know if anybody knows that. That's my stat of the day. He's never lost on Thanksgiving. He won't start now. I'll take a win.
Win. Wow. Home, Monday Night Football.
I got a wow out of Nate.
New England Patriots. Have you given much thought to what it'll be like to go 12 weeks without playing New England?
It's weird, huh? Right?
Yeah.
Two games in the last, you know, month-ish of the season is strange.
Betting who their quarterback will be might be tough.
Mac Jones.
Just because if Newton works well with those two tight ends, I mean, Cam Newton can throw to the middle of the field. They're going to work the middle of the field.
Yep.
I happen to think that Newton does have some football left in him. He might not have the best arm, but he could very well play well enough for him to keep that job, and I think New England could stay close to the Bills. You have them with two losses at this point. I mean, what are they going to have, more than four?
New England, New England's got some tough games in the beginning of their schedule.
And I mean by now, like – they have four losses. They're still in it. They play you twice. So, you know, to stay in the race, New England has to stay like two games back. Three. Anyway, Monday Night Football, Week 13, home New England.
It's a win, babe.
Win.
Yeah, it's a win. It's a win. We're going to see Belichick maybe blow up on the sidelines again, throw stuff. Yeah, it's a win.
Sunday, 4:25, Week 14. That's a juicy one. I love the Sunday 4:25. It's only one, right? I'm glad it's not a Sunday night game. I like that they get this big window. There's going to be Nance and Romo and Bills at Bucks.
Sorry, I have to throw a loss in here, kids. I'm going to keep that. I'm pretty sure I'll keep that a loss until the season starts, and then Tampa would have to give me a reason to flip that around.
All right, loss. Home, Carolina. This one is the flexi game.
This is a sneaky one.
Oh, yeah, it could be a Saturday game, right. Why? You're worried about
Carolina's,
Darnold?
Carolina's?
Nah. Don't sweat it, babe.
Nah.
Take a W.
By the way, Darnold opening against the Jets is awesome.
It might be it is a great idea. I love that, too.
It might be my favorite opener.
No doubt about it.
That's like the NFL with a little you-know-what smile on their face going, let's put the Jets against Darnold, the opener.
Win home Carolina. We don't know the date of that. It could be flexed into like Saturday afternoon. I'd be, you know.
Could be a Saturday night game.
Just like that Denver game. It sounds great.
Yeah.
So I might want them to be competitive enough where that's a possibility. At New England, Sunday 1:00, Week 16.
Get the brooms, baby, and sweep away the Patriots.
Sweep?
Sweep the Patriots. Take a win there. Yep. Yeah.
Home Atlanta, Week 17.
I'll take a win. I paused because I said I think Atlanta will be better this year.
What about Kyle Pitts going for the touchdown record?
Oh, I forgot.
He's going to have 25 touchdowns.
25?
Yeah.
Do you have him on one of your teams?
Well, too early. Haven't had drafts yet.
Oh, that's right. That's where we're sitting here in May. No, I'll take a win. He will not have 25 touchdowns. Well, the way they covered tight ends last year, maybe he has 25 touchdowns in that game. Ba-dum-bum. Shh. I'll leave now. Take a win.
No, no, no.
Win.
Can't leave yet.
Yeah, it's week 17.
I should have left before the segment.
More games.
Yeah.
Home Jets.
You know, it'll be a win unless, you know, Nate is starting at quarterback.
In which case,
and I don't mean Sudfeld.
Then doubling down.
I meant Geary. Yeah. So I'll take a win.
Win. So for the first time ever, Howard picks a record of 14-3.
Whew, wow. Man. Do I get to keep the job for another day?
You, the whole week I've been worried about saying the record wrong, and I got it. 14-3.
17. It adds up to 17.
I've had I've been very self-conscious about 17. The record. I saw somebody in the national media tweet out, was it 13-3? Question mark for a schedule? I'm like, no, guy. Come on. Help us out here.
That's why I put the question mark in.
Yeah.
No quarter point, no halfway through with the eight-game mark. All right. I look forward to seeing you Monday. Well, hearing from you Monday. Thankfully, I don't have to wear protective clothing because you're not in the studio with me.
Yeah, you're not gonna rant. I don't rant.
I know. Well, it's off-season. It's off-season. You can now. It's off-season. Mm.
Just wait until Rasmus Ristolainen's protected in the expansion.
and gets a contract extension.
No, I mean, if he said Howard, he doesn't want to be here, then he'll be gone, right? That's how they're going to do this?
Don't you put that evil on us, Howard. Don't you do it.
Yeah. I'm going to get even for making me pick the Bills. Thank you, Mr. White. I hope you're enjoying your time off, even though you worked twice with us this week.
And by the way, Jeremy, people are pretty upset we didn't document our outfits.
Picture?
Which, by the way, were very good. Me and Jeremy were
you were dressed to the
best
nines?
Dressed on the course yesterday, no doubt about it.
So it was better than your game, the outfit?
It would have been a tie.
You guys did that well together.
There was some good golf out there.
There was some good golf.
There were some good golf shots.
All right.
It's close.
All right.
The one thing is you can count on the style being good. You know, hit and miss.
Hit and miss. Yep.
All right, sir. Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you, gentlemen.
We'll talk to you Monday. Have a good week, rest of the week. Pick the Bills, brought to you by Admar Construction Equipment and Supplies, equipment you need when you need it.